in Jesus right before I preach. I'll be running circles around this place. Listen to me. I can still see where I was standing. I was halfway back on the right-hand side in a church just like this, split in half. I played quad A football all my life. I played football for 12 years. We were on a victorious team. I mean, we tied states my senior year, and my junior year, I think we won states and did very well, and ran track and went to states and did very successful. My paintball team, we had a paintball team in school, and my neighborhood team, our team was team win. That's how much I liked. This is just bonus. I'm not even preaching yet. You got to give me this. It's just bonus time, okay? Listen, because I'm stirred up this evening. Our neighborhood team name was team win. That's how much I liked the win. That was my buddy Eric right around the corner. We had the power company between us. His team, we called him Team Lose. Now, I don't know what he called his team, but I wanted the guys that were winners, man. I wanted guys that were going to, my cousin Chad up the hill, man, that dude would get up in a tree and jump down on people with that paintball gun. I liked to win, and I knew what victory was, but I remember being in church. And I remember hearing victory in Jesus for the first time. Oh, I'd visited church and I'd heard it before, and I'd heard the old prudes sing it nice and slow, and I'd heard it. But for the first time in my life, I heard that I was victorious. I was a winner. I was a loser for 26 years. I was a loser serving sin in this world, and I found out I could be a winner for the first time. Amen. God is so good. Sorry, that was just bonus. That was a little sidebar. That was a little extra for coming this evening. Man, God has me stirred up. Grab your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4 this evening. Ephesians chapter 4. While you're turning there, my name's Phil Clauser. I'm an evangelist. My home church is in Akron, Ohio, First Baptist Church of Kenmore. I traveled the country the past 11 years full-time, teaching and preaching everywhere and anywhere God would allow. Mostly churches, but schools and prisons and all over the place God allows us to preach and teach at. But God's sure been good to us. Ephesians chapter 4, while you're turning there, I promise you I'd tell you a couple jokes. Now my son, this is my son Andre, we call him Dre, his favorite joke, and I haven't told it in quite a few years, so he'll be mad that I told this joke here. I don't know where I picked it up at, but there was a Minnesota couple who, for their 20th anniversary, they had planned to spend their time at a hotel where they went on their honeymoon down in Florida. But they were both working like modern-day couples. Both people were working, and they couldn't get their PTO straight where they could make it down there at the same time. So the husband decided that he was going to fly down to Florida and check into the hotel first, and she would come down a few days later. So he flew down there, and of course, some hotels, if you pay good money, they've changed in the past 20 years. Now, if you put, and by the way, thank you, church, for putting me in a very nice hotel. If Brother Phil is in charge of the, it's a motel. There's an M in front of it. If I'm in charge of paying for it for me, and it's a little more seedy and not quite as nice a lot of times. But the hotel had changed. It had been updated, and it was amazing. And the man had got in and checked in, and in his room there was a computer. And he thought, this is pretty neat. This is kind of cool. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send an email to my wife from this cool computer in my hotel room. So he types up this letter, and off he sends it. But like some of us, his fingers were a little clumsy, and he typed in the wrong address into the email slot. Meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, Texas, a widow woman had just returned home from her husband's funeral. He was a pastor for many, many years and called home the glory after a sudden heart attack. The widow, of course, modern day world, people move all over, thought that, you know, many of our family don't come anymore to funerals and different things. And she thought, I'll go in while all the kids are here and making a fuss and the grandkids, and I'll check the computer and check the email, because I'm sure there's some relatives that got on Facebook and email and things and sent us a nice condolence note. So she goes in the other room while the family's in the kitchen and about their business. And within a few moments, they hear a great fall. The son, of course, runs in and he looks about what's going on, and he looks at the screen and he sees this email. 2. my lovely wife. Subject, I've arrived. The date. The email says this, I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and you're allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and checked in. I see that everything's prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. I hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. Sure is hot down here. That's a bad joke. I'm sorry. Forgive me. You're not allowed to take money out of the offering plate, just so you know. Ephesians chapter 4, you're already there. You're already there this evening. And honestly, I just want to talk to you and preach to you a little bit tonight about this subject. So important. About that new walk that we should have in our life. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 17 with me. We'll read a few verses down through here. It says this in Ephesians 4:17. The Bible says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have learned him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye, putting off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupted according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I want to talk to you tonight for just a little bit about that new walk that we should have in our new life and what we can gain from just this little portion of Scripture. That's all I'm going to do. We're going to walk down through it and talk about it and see what God has for us tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we sure love you. I thank you for these dear folks and their friendship, Lord, and just from the time I walked in, Lord, it was felt like walking in the home, and just I'm sure grateful for that and your spirit being here and meeting with us. I pray, Lord, you just meet with us again tonight. Bless us, please, Lord. Help us to do our part to keep out distractions. Lord, help me, Lord, to have my voice and my heart and mind, Lord, tuned in to you. Bless us, please, God, with your power, your presence. We love you and we thank you. We'll give you the honor and glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. To walk means to move. In Scripture, it means to live, to act, what we should be doing. We are to have a new walk in our life. When God saves us, He not only makes us a new creature, but He has something new for us. He has a new life and a new walk. He gives us these commands very clearly, and I want to verse by verse look at it with you in Ephesians chapter 4 this evening. But I want to tell you, when I got saved, there were some things in my life that became very different from Phil Klausner from June 14th, 2008, and June 15th, 2008 on. There was a new creature born that evening, and of course, that old dirty dog, he still hangs on and still around, and we'll talk about that. But there was a new life created for me, found in Christ Jesus. And there were some things that would be drastically different. God says here in Ephesians chapter 4, look at it again, look at verse 17. He says, the world has some problems. You want to know what the world's problems are? Here they are. Here's what it is. Look at verse 17. He says, this I say therefore and testify in Lord Jesus Christ, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. They have a problem with their heads. 26 years of my life, I still got a problem with this thing. It gets me in trouble all the time. I wish they made flavored shoe polish. That's how much this thing gets me in trouble when this thing gets me in trouble. Be different. Our heads become a problem. It says they walked in the vanity of their minds. That means their emptiness, their uncertainty. It meant fruitlessness, their arrogance. The lost minds invents ways to serve the flesh and selfish desires. That's what God says. That's all we do. And listen, that is my life's testimony for 26 years was doing whatever I wanted to do. I was a horrible friend. Because I'd make plans with this guy, and if someone else pulled up first, I was out. I was jumping in the, it was first come first, we're gone, man. Lived in the emptiness and the vanity of my mind. And the world lives in such a place where it's everything is to fulfill the flesh. The lost mind invents gods and false religions and foolish philosophies to show how brilliant mankind is. Yet the inventions of the lost mind are empty and anything but fruitful and helpful. Proverbs 16, you all know the verse. In verse 25, the Bible tells us there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. That's what God tells us. There's a way that seems real right to us. And God says, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a passage in Romans chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, in verse 28, where Paul says about the lost world, he says they have a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind. This refers to a depraved mind. The word used depravity was a metallurgy term when they got out all the impurities. That's what those impurities were. Those things that weren't worth anything. They were useless and worthless. The lost thoughts of a mind are depraved and backwards and useless and worthless. But listen to me, when you get saved, things ought to be different. Brother Jason, you said something around the dinner table the other day that I would have bawled my eyes out if we weren't a bunch of men sitting around the table. I would drink before I got saved, even as a teenager. There were times we'd have big parties at the house, big, I mean 500 people. We'd build a stage and people play different genres of music and things. I mean, I was allowed to do whatever I want. We had huge parties. But see, what my so-called friends and all those people didn't know is there were many times where Phil would go into the bathroom and he'd look at his face in the mirror. I'd say, God, why? Are you even real? Is there anyone even there? Satan, if you're real, I'll serve you. If someone, something, there has to be something more than this. There has to be something more than the partying and the drugs and the money. And I would cry and look at myself, and then I'd gather myself together and go back out and be the party guy. The lost mind is so empty and depraved. Listen to me, I lived there for 26 years trying to figure out what is the meaning of life. Why am I even here? I'd get mad that I was even born. Why would my parents even have me so I can sit here and rot? That's a depraved mind. God said the mind of a believer is to be so much more than that. It's to be so much better than that. They had a problem with their mind. But not only does the lost world have a problem with its mind, look at verse 18. The Bible tells us here, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They have a problem with their heart. Boy, I was cold and callous before I got saved. A heart confronted with the truth but refuses to embrace it. A stubborn heart separated from the life that could be theirs through Jesus Christ, trapped in darkness and depravity. But because we're saved, that heart is to be different. Sir, that heart is to be different. The excuse of, well, you don't know what I used to be, does not fly. You have no idea what I used to be. My friends used to bet me that I couldn't go 5 minutes without cussing, and I couldn't. They'd pull out $20 bills, say, you can't. They'd start off like a half hour, and they'd go down to 15 minutes. And then they'd go down to 10 minutes. And then they'd go down to 5 minutes. And then it was just so funny by then that they gave up. This mind and this heart knew nothing but depravity and filthiness. And God said when he gave you that new creature, he put a new heart in you, new desires in you. And we have no business as born-again believers living in that. If you're having problems as a believer, you shouldn't have them in your heart. We're to be different than the world. I'm not saying that we don't, but we ought to be able to get the victory. And we'll talk about that here in a moment. But listen to me. The world has a problem with its mind. They have a problem with their heart. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7 that we're to walk in the light as he is in the light. Yet the world walks in darkness. Isn't it amazing? Every bar and every club is dim and dark. You know why? Anyone here ever, well, I don't want you to confess it. Don't raise your hand. You ever work in a bar? I don't raise your hand. You ever been in there when they turn the lights on? You ever see how filthy and disgusting the floor and the cupboards and everything in there? The Bible says men love darkness rather than light. You know why? Because all that darkness, kids, it hides our sin. Young people, you're not kids. Young adults and adults. Man, that dirty, rotten old heart, it loves that darkness. It loves to hide away. And God says as a believer, we're not to be so. That's a problem of the world. They have a problem with their mind and they have a problem with their heart. We are not to be that way. Something ought to be different in us. They walk in darkness. God can change your heart. Jeremiah 17 tells us, isn't that the mantra of the world? I just heard someone say this the other day and I wanted to puke. Follow your heart. Just follow your heart. Doesn't the Bible tell us, Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Isn't it amazing? I showed preacher a picture of me today. I was 316 pounds about 14 months ago. No surgeries, just all natural. It's been about a year and a half now, about 16 months ago. I looked like I was going to explode. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny that our bodies, boy, we'll pack it on. We'll eat ourselves to death. And then if we don't do that, we go to the other end of the spectrum. And we'll throw up and we starve ourselves to death. The flesh is hard to satisfy. It fights back and forth and back and forth. And you will never get the victory on your own. It's through the Lord. We're to be different. Our minds are to be different. Our heart is to be different than the world's heart. It's deceitful. They had a problem with their head. They have a problem with their heart. Look at verse number 19. The Bible tells us they had a problem with their hands. He says, who being past feeling, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. They were past feeling. Because the lost are dead in Christ, they are past feeling. That phrase means that they've lost the sense of pain. How many of you, especially as we get older, I notice I start to get that way now. And people, I see people drive. It's been like that since I was like 30. I see someone driving. I go, there's no way that kid's 16. There's no way. And the older I get, the older the young people get, they start looking younger and younger. I start thinking, they're driving illegally. I remember stealing my parents' car too. I'm just old. You wonder why and how they can do and say and live the way they live. Because the lost and the dead are beyond feeling. It's used as a statement that nothing bothers them. Their conscience is seared and dead and not proper. They're like those lepers who suffer the horrible disfigurement and they don't realize they can't feel it anymore. There's a drug that's in America right now. I won't even name it because I don't want your kids to even know what it is. It rots the flesh off of people. I was at a church just a month ago, and a lady got saved. Her 29-year-old friend died right in front of her, taking this drug for the first time. It's so addictive and so terrible. They're bringing it in from foreign countries just to poison you young people. Just to poison you. Because we're so foolish. We're so beyond feeling of listening and understanding. We're so numb to mom and dad. and so numb to authority. And they inject it into him like those lepers, and the limb gets beyond feeling where they can't even feel it. I've seen specials where you see the bone. The flesh is gone to the bone. They nicknamed it the zombie drug. Do you understand? That is what the world is. They're beyond. You go, how could they even live like that? They look like they fell in a tackle box. You know, Dracula got hit with a tackle box grenade. How could they live like that? How could they cuss like that? How could you talk like, I had no idea bringing alcohol everywhere was wrong. You know why? I lived in that culture so much, I was beyond feeling. I had no idea that that was unacceptable anywhere. I would have rolled in the church. Had no idea. The Bible says they yield to their lives of lasciviousness. Lasciviousness may just, you fall to whatever you want. Your wanton sensuality and an attitude, I'll do what I please, with who I please, when I please to do it. The problems with their head, the problems with their heart, and the problems with their hands were to be different. He says in verses 20 and 21, and here's what I want to give you and help you. Not only are we to be different, we're to be discerning. He tells us in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so, ye have heard him, and ye have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Christ is our example. You ought to have learned Christ. There ought to be some things in your life that you've learned from the scripture that God has taught you. There ought to be some things. Man, I came to church. I had no idea. I had no idea about the Bible and nothing. I found out them crazy people 2 weeks after I was saved. I found out they went around knocking on people's doors, inviting folks to church. Brother Dan, I went in on that. Man, I want to tell people there's a church, and I got mad. Privately, I was very upset. And I shed some very angry tears because no one ever knocked on a door in Brother Phil's neighborhood. They didn't run bus routes and vans in Brother Phil's neighborhood. But I got excited about serving God. And I wanted to know something about the Lord who changed my life and saved me. And I went out and knocked on doors and man, I got involved in anything and everything you could do at church. I wanted to do it. And I started to learn about Jesus. No one had to tell me, Phil, you dummy, don't say the F word every other word when you go to church. You know, my preacher never had to say that, not one time. Not one time, never. He didn't have to put it in any kind of rule book or anything. You know what I realized? That was very abrasive to people. It was very offensive. And that I should be much more courteous and careful around the people I'm around. Before I knew any Bible verses, before I even had any idea of what the Lord had to say about certain things and standards in my life, I began to learn about Christ as my example. They learned Christ. We need to trust Christ not only as our Savior, but trust Him to change us. My standard of living changed and my direction changed the day I got saved on June 15, 2008. For 26 years of my life, I did whatever I wanted. Miserable, depressed, shacked up with two kids and a girl that I didn't even really like all that much. I didn't even know what I was going to do with my life. In fact, I thought I was just going to go back to selling drugs. She'd threatened me to go to church. She'd basically forced me to go to church. And then 2 months had gone by and Miss Casey hadn't asked me to go to church. She'd prayed for me and cleaned the house and done all kind of nice things for me. She got off my case and she got on her knees. And the God of heaven began to work in my life. The Spirit of God began to work in my life. Miss Casey began to go to church and little old lady sat way in the back, Mrs. Kistler. She was so handicapped, she couldn't really get around much and do much anything, but she wanted to serve God with her life, and she wrote thank yous. And she wrote my now wife thank yous just for coming to church. And I would walk in the morning to the refrigerator to grab my beer for the morning or afternoon, whenever it was, I got up to sit down and produce music or whatever it was I was going to do for that day with the guys. I would see that card on the corner of the table and I'd pick it up and read that. No one ever thanked Phil for showing up anywhere. When I showed up, we were fighting, we were drinking, we were partying, we were going somewhere, we were causing some kind of ruckus. There were people that were excited that my wife was going to church. A new life. God has a new life for us that we ought to walk in, and it's found in Christ. We're to be different in our mind and different in our heart and different in the way we feel because Christ is our example. He told us in 1 John chapter 2, he said this, and hereby, in verse 3 he says it, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He goes on, he says this, he that saith I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walketh. I could walk around here. I guarantee if I spent 5 minutes before church telling all these young people, did you know Brother Phil's a professional opera singer? Did you know that? Professional. Like super, super like TikTok famous. Like opera singer. Now how long you think it's going to go until one of these young people go, let's hear it. Not even one of these young people. I can already hear it. I can already see Brother Dorn. Let's hear it, big boy. I'm not. That would be a lie, right? Yet we run around and tell folks we believe in the Lord. We're a Christian. And our actions don't show it. And a lot of times the people around us, the people that we don't even realize are watching, you know what they're looking at? They're thinking, they're saying, prove it. They're saying, prove it, preacher. Let me see. It's taken 15 years. My old football buddies that mocked me at my wedding. We didn't have alcohol. I had the gospel preached. Man, we played football together, some of them, ever since elementary school. I mean, that's a lot of years. Playing ball together in sports and school. And I thought those guys, we'd be friends forever. Man, it had only been 8 years since we graduated high school. Had we really gotten that far away from each other? And yet the gospel was preached at my wedding, and we got in to go to the reception, and those guys all pulled away. Yay, Jesus! Ha, 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 ha. We're to be different. We're to live for the Lord and walk for the Lord and let Him use our lives every day of our life. We're to be different. Different than that with a new walk. Oh, young people, let Christ be your example. Philippians 2, he said, let this mind be in you. In verse 5, he says, which are also in Christ Jesus. We must learn from this. Oh, they're going to learn from you, mom and dad. They're going to learn from you, church member. But we need to be learning from the book. Listen, it is no Bible college's job to train these young people. It's not. It's not. The Bible says it's for the older to teach the younger. It's for us parents. It's for us grandmas and grandpaps and aunts and uncles in the church. Hey, listen to me. You're the example that they're watching, that they're going to live by. Let them see the Lord through it. Christ, we need to be discerning. Not only do we need to be different, we need to be discerning. And let me say, we need to be decisive. In verses 22 through 24, he tells us in verse 22 that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Listen, there's some things that you ought to take off. There ought to be some attitudes and some actions and some things in our lives that when you get saved, that it comes off of us, that we take it off. It's stripped away. The old man is corruption. My mom, when we moved from upstate New York to the Pittsburgh area, they moved kind of suburban, and for some reason they thought they were going to, my mom had a flower business for years, and in the side of our house, she would put out this black plastic paper, and it was like forever and ever and ever long, but the material was very similar to a slip and slide, and much thicker. And she would put out her rows of flowers that she was going to sell, and she would water them and things, and man, it would stay wet and had all them little foam balls and all that black, you know, dirt and all that stuff. I'm sure that stuff's not foam, but whatever it is, it comes in dirt when you make flowers, when you put flowers in pots. And man, me and my little brother, his name's Gallagher, we call him Gal. Gal, come on, man, he's 4 years younger than me. We're doing this. You hold the hose, and he'd put the hose on there, and he'd get that thing wet. I mean, it was probably from here to the back, and there's rows of flowers. And we'd find one with a nice wide row, and there's a little brother Phil, and little hobbit me's flying down through there, and man, we would be covered in that stuff. You'd have that stuff, that dirt, and all the stuff they put in that. I mean, it's everywhere. You got them little foam things in your ears, and you are gross and disgusting and just covered in grass shavings and in a mess. And we'd get done, or my mom's customer would leave, and I'd see my mom, she'd go, Philip, get your butt over here. What? You know, smart aleck little me, come over, and we'd have to stand there. Ooh, and she'd pull the garden hose out, and she'd... Oh, and it was freezing cold, and she'd knock all that dirt and that grit and that grime and all them bugs and all that foam and all that yuck that's up inside Brother Phil's nose and all that stuff. She power washed it all off with freezing cold hose water. On June 15th, 2008, it was a Father's Day. It's probably about 7:30, 8:30 at night. 26-year-old Phil Klausner bowed his head in a preacher's office in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. As I sat there on the corner of that pew, on the corner of that chair in his office, and I said, Amen. Lord, run that hose across me. And by the time I lifted up my head, boy, it wasn't cold. It wasn't nasty. It was the biggest burden you could ever have lifted up off of me. I walked out of his office, and there was my mother-in-law and my father-in-law and my soon-to-be wife on their knees praying and crying. There was people still at the church all over praying. People just stuck around, because they wanted to see this old gang-banging drunk get saved. And I walked out of there with a smile on my face. You don't know Brother Phil very well. I am not a people person. You put me on a hill far away somewhere. And when I got saved, I wanted to start Bapstonia. I wanted to buy a piece of property. And I wanted separation from everyone, man. Because I was so wicked and so involved in this world, I wanted so far away from everything. And man, God hosed my life down. And I got that new life and that new walk. And listen to me. Every morning, you know what I do? I wake up. I got a little bit of that dirt on me again. And one of them bicyclists here in Pennsylvania, we spend millions of dollars on these fancy bike trails and things. And they're right in the middle of the road on a 35-mile-an-hour bend when they're only going 15 and they're tight shorts on a Sunday morning when I'm in a hurry because Miss Casey wanted Dunkin' Donuts. And it's not like she's drinking coffee. She drinks this like foo-foo stuff. It's like they blow coffee powder in it. It's like, it's a milkshake. You drink a milkshake at 6 in the morning. She drinks a milkshake. She had to have her milkshake, so now I'm late for this meeting. And he's in the, listen to me. By the time I get past that guy, you know what Brother Phil needs again? I need a little bit of forgiveness from the Lord to just hose me off just a little bit. But we ought to walk in that new life. We're to be different. There ought to be something different about you. My parents didn't speak to me for 2.5 years after I got saved. Listen to me, I could do whatever I wanted. My mom would wake up, there'd be guys, girls, people everywhere. Everywhere. It didn't matter. I could come home, just a mess, clothes soiled, a disaster, no idea how the car even got there. I got saved and married that gal, and I love my mom. She's born again now. But she thought I drank the Kool-Aid. That's how big the, and she used that term too. And I said, it was delicious. And I did, right on the phone. And we didn't talk for 2.5 years because the change in my life was so drastic and so different what God had done for me. There's to be a great change in our lives. We're to walk different. Hey, be different. Be different. God says that's what we're to be. Oh, I want to look at this one last time. Not only do I want to be discerning in the things of Christ, but we need to be decisive. We need to put some things off. Let me give you these last two. I'm done. Verse 23 said that we're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Not only are there some things we need to renounce, there's some things we're going to take off when we get born again. There are some things that you're struggling with. I've talked about even this week. Maybe you haven't been here, but listen to me. There were things I struggled with all my life. I tried to kick alcohol. I drank since I was 9 years old. I tried quitting smoking cigarettes. They told me, when you go to the club, buy them for $1. Then I'm just broke, man. You made me spend $1 each time. That didn't help me quit anything. I tried to be a better person and turn over a new leaf. I had tried everything the world has to offer. Feel good, self-esteem, all that stuff. None of it worked until I trusted Christ. You ought to get renewed. There ought to be a renewing. The mind of a lost folks is vanity and uselessness and greed. We ought to be renewed by having our hearts and minds on the things of God. You know Philippians 4, 8, he goes on and he tells us what things we're to think on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he tells us that you and I have the ability to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Every thought. We're to be decisive. And lastly, let me say, in verse number 24, not only are we to renounce some things, not only are there some things in our life we need to renew, but in some of us, there are some things we need to reveal. Verse number 24, he says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We're to put off the sin and put on this new man. He tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are a new creature when we get born again. When God saved me, He revealed something in me that I had no idea could be there. Listen to me, I never shed a tear before I was saved unless I'd gotten caught doing wrong. I spent many a nights crying in juvie, caught in trouble, because that was my mom's rule. She said, I'd help you bury a body, but I'll never pay bail. And she never did. I'd cry if I got caught. And I'd cry if I thought it'd get me a kiss from a girl. Oh man, my life's so sad. But on the day I got saved, God put a new heart in me, new mind in me. And I learned how to serve Him and love Him. And God made me tender, tender. There was hope. There was light for the first time. There was a smile. I don't know if I ever smiled. I still, Miss Casey's not here. My wife, she's infamous. She sets about, oh, where are you at? She does this while no one's looking. That means smile. I have like a bulldog face. You probably already noticed it. I'm not mad at you, by the way. If I'm walking around church, I just have I'm a mean mug guy, man. Just if I'm in here, I'm... So Miss Casey, I will preach like that. I'm sorry. If I preach like that, I'm not mad at you. I'm just a mean, ugly guy. But if Miss Casey's here, she gives me a little wifely smile. Dummy, you look angry. Sometimes we get that mean mug, but listen to me inside. I'm so grateful and so happy and excited and joyful about what God's done for me. He gave me a smile. He gave me a new song. He gave me new desires in my life, things that I love doing. I never thought I'd like coming to church. I never thought I would love coming to church. I never thought I'd like being around God's people. I had a flip phone when I visited church. And man, that guy had my sin list, and I pulled that flip phone out, and I had Snake on there. And I played a lot of Snake sitting in church. God created some new desires in my life, and He gave me compassion, a new talk, and a new walk. And listen to me, I am not perfect, and neither are you. But we must purposely submit to the Spirit of God. Hey, listen to me, I'm done. How are you doing with being different? How are you doing? God said you ought to be different than the rest of the world who walks in the vanity of their minds, the uncleanness of their hearts. They're beyond feeling. They can't even feel things anymore. They're so numb to what really matters. God says we're to be different. We're to be discerning, students of the Bible, students of what's right, and trying to always do what's the most excellent thing to do. Be different. Be decisive. Be discerning. Make a decision. Make a decision. Young people, you have to make a decision every day to serve God. When I started to lose weight, it was a commitment. You want to know how to do anything in life? Make a commitment. Doesn't matter. Anyone will tell you. Make a commitment to do it. Young people, listen to me. You want to do something for God? Make a commitment. Commit to doing it. We all know the Bible when Joshua was going to die. He said, choose you this day who, as for me and my house, probably half of you have a little thing in your house hanging somewhere, your wife has, with some flowers or something goofy on it, or a little country sunset, and it says, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord, right? You know what he tells them, and he has all the people around, he says, choose you this day. You know why? Because every single day of our life, adults, every single day of our life, you need to get up and make a decision to live for God. It's a decision that needs to be made. How about it? How about it? Lord, we love you and we thank you. We ask that you bless us now in this time of prayer. Help us, Lord, to have our hearts and minds fixed on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're here this evening and there's never been a time or a place where you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Oh, the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's very honest and open about that. It doesn't take a genius to understand that God says we're sinners. And God says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, that there's a penalty. And that on the day we die, if we have not gotten that account taken care of, the Bible teaches us and tells us there is that second death. See, if you don't have that second birth, you'll experience that second death. You'll hear that term being born again. Nicodemus asked that, what does it mean to be born again? Does that mean I need to climb back up into my mother's womb? He says, no. You need to be born of the water and born of the Spirit. That's when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's when you turn from whatever it is you believe or you're leaning on and trusting and say, I'm done. And maybe you're like me. I knew nothing. I didn't know anything. I had to repent from complete disbelief of nothing and understanding that Christ loved me. The Bible tells us that he lived a perfect, sinless life and that he shed his blood, and that was God's plan, that he'd die and take our place in hell, and that all we have to do is put our faith and trust in him. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment, no one's looking around, from the youngest to the oldest. The Bible tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here this evening and there's never been a time or a place where you've done that, you've put your faith and trust in Christ, I'd like to pray for you. Heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking. If that's you this evening, would you slip a hand up? I'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out, anything like that. I'd just like to pray for you, anyone at all. Say, Brother Phil, that's me. Christian, let me ask you, how are you doing? How are you doing with being different? How are you doing with being discerning? How are you doing with being decisive? Hey, why don't you make a decision tonight? You know, we use an old-fashioned altar. In the Old Testament, anything that ever went to the altar was never the same. And oh, there ought to be some times where we come to an old-fashioned altar and things are never the same. There was a decision made in my life February 2 years ago. I have it in my Bible. I can show it to you on a slip of paper. I put the date on it where I put I was going to stop waiting. And I went to the doctor and wanted to get my health taken care of, and it led to me losing weight and having a better relationship with my wife and a better relationship with my family. It's because a decision was made to be different. A decision was made to be discerning. And I can't make that decision for you. Can you honestly say that your life is a display of Jesus Christ? If I went right now and I knocked on your neighbor's door, would they say, yeah, they're different? What if I spoke to your coworkers? Would they say that your life is different? Would your spouse agree? Would your children agree? More important than all of those, would the God of heaven agree? If you're like me and sometimes you need help with your mind, the place to find it's Jesus. If you're like me and you need help putting off that old man and putting on that new man, the place to find it is found in the Lord. If it's dawned on you that you're lost and trapped, dead in darkness and depravity of sin, the only place you will ever find help is through Jesus Christ. I understand I didn't come forward at a church service. I didn't make church that evening, but please don't leave here tonight without knowing the Lord is your Savior. I sure would love to talk to you. We'll go somewhere and open the Bible and show you exactly what needs to be done. But please don't leave here without knowing that for sure. There isn't a person in this room that doesn't need to talk to the Lord. We're to be different. We're to be discerning. That means we check things with the Lord. That means we have a standard that we live by. See, the world, their standard's fluid. Their morality's fluid. It's whoever they're with and whatever they do. We have the truth of the Word of God. And we need to be decisive. Make decisions for the Lord. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for your goodness. Lord, help us, please, to see the need for that new walk. Help the young ones to see it, Lord.